Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. It's episode 404, 404 episodes of the Nerdcore Podcast. That's a lot. So, as always, this is NerdChicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? I am not alone today.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I could say we've had guests on this show.
Guests. We've had many friends.
But yeah, we've had friends. A lot of friends joining us for months.
Yeah, we're not your friends.
No, fuck them. They're not my friends. Come on, man. They're our friends, dude. We've had, you know, like guests come, like, what's it called, on the show for like a whole month and review movies with us. But we've never had friends of ours come on the show to talk about their movie. So this is going to be a first.
Yep. And not just their movie, like full length.
Not their short film. No, their feature length film. So, as always, what's it called? Brad is here to co-host the show. But today, for those of you who are listening on the audio platforms, you can't see their beautiful faces. But we're being joined by the cast and crew of The Curse of Professor Zardonicus. Gabriel Theis, writer and director, is here. What's up, Gabriel?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's all right. It's all right. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. It's good to be back on this program, and I'm always happy to be a guest. I will come over to be a guest at your house. I will sleep on your couch. I'm just so happy to be here.
I will eat your food. I will drink your beer. I will not leave pay any rent.
I will not.
That doesn't sound enticing
at all. That doesn't sound enticing at all. What's it called? You're welcome to stay at my place, man. You got to come like six hours south. So,
all right, you're gonna cover me for gas, right?
I don't know if you know this about Latinos, bro, but we come cheap. We don't pay for shit. All right. And also joining us is the wonderful one of the actors of the film, Alec. What's going on? Recently engaged Mr. Alec White.
Ooh, yeah. Engaged.
Living dangerously.
Yeah, I seem to be Mr. with two R's. Mr. Alec White. I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on.
What's going on, man? Yeah, Brad's a married man himself. So he can tell you a lot about how he has sex like every 2 weeks.
That's more than I was having previously.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This isn't a live show. It's not the place for those type of conversations. I just got to switch my brain sometimes. And of course, cinematographer Lucio Vasquez.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Everyone keeps asking you what's up. I did, yeah. I it's been a long day. I've been working all day, and I meant to turn on an alarm and realized, I slept on a couch, and my girlfriend's like, hey, it's 8:30. I'm like, oh, gee. So I just ran over here.
Oh, we've been there.
Oh, yeah. Dude. we had a show one time where we were bringing in the wonderful Jason Inman and Ashley V. Robinson, comic book writers, and they do a lot of cool stuff. And we were going to interview them, but we had to push it back a bit because, you know, they weren't going to be ready until what is 9 o'clock Eastern time for them and is 11 o'clock Central time for me. And let's just say I was there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be able to do this. Anybody who knows me knows that I fall asleep pretty fast once 11 o'clock hits. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep. But guess what? I have an alarm at 11 o'clock set because I have to take my meds at 11 o'clock. Mm. So my alarm woke me up. I took my meds and I was like, oh, crap, we have to talk with Ashley and Jason. So we got on and if it wasn't for that alarm, that show would not have happened. And yeah,
it was thank God for meds.
Yeah,
that was a pretty late show too. Like I remember, yeah. I set alarm every 5 minutes and was taking power naps.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great show though. It was a wonderful time with Jason and Ashley, and I'm really happy we were able to do that. And you know, those two people are great, great people. So yeah, we're here to give our review in advance because the film isn't, you know, released to the public yet, right? And our review of the Curse of Professor Sardonicus, we want to get to talking here with the boys. And I promised to Gabe here that I'm not going to get into spoiler territory for you all because I want you all to experience this, you know, without spoilers. So I want you all to get, you know, this wonderful information we'll be providing to you guys from the cast and crew here. But I want to make sure that I don't spoil anything for you all. So that way when the film comes out, you can actually watch it with a, you know, with a pretty non-spoiler mindset. So I guess just without further ado, I guess we got to get into it, right? Usually I do the your spoiling warnings in effect and whatever, and I do the little noise of me laughing. It sounds a little like, oh, never mind. I don't even have my sound pad on. Yeah, I'm not prepared.
You have a sound that you laugh?
Yeah, yeah. Look, hold on. I got you, man.
Why can't you just laugh?
Yeah, just laugh for us.
It's my no. Look,
acapella.
No, hold on. Yeah, it's my little laugh.
It's his Pillsbury Doughboy laugh.
Oh, yeah. I think you're auditioning for the Joker.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. The funny thing
is, anytime somebody laughs, Lucio always Lucio's compared me to the Joker every time I laugh.
Well, that's because
if you want to get into it, there's a specific scene in Sardonicus where Gabe laughs. Yeah. Literally, like, it makes me uncomfortable. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I had two scenes where I audibly laughed during this film that really got me. And when they're talking about like you have a YouTube channel and then you just cut your YouTube and you're like, yeah, twins. I don't know why guys are so twins. I just fucking lost it, man. I lost it, dude.
Okay. You want to know a fun fact about that?
Yeah.
That's from an actual YouTube channel that I had 2 years ago.
Oh, really? That's cool, man.
Yeah, and we just like, I think we put that in there as a joke for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Editing.
Yeah, and then editing-wise, it was just like a cut. And then I put that in there and showed them.
That shit made me laugh so hard, dude. I was like, it just, first of all, it cuts perfectly to that. And then just the comedic timing of it all, just it really got like an audible laugh from me. That was really funny. Of course, wonderful Stacy is joining us here on the show. Wonderful, yeah, man, always here supporting us. Professor Sardonicus, another Neil Patrick Harris role. Do we get Nathan Fillion and his hammer again?
Oh gosh, is this that Joss Whedon movie? Is this a reference?
Yes,
to that?
Lucio.
Oh,
I
forgot the name of it. What is it?
Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Block. Yes. God damn it.
Holy crap. It's been so many years since Yeah, no, this is a direct sequel.
Yeah. Yeah. The other
Neil line. Patrick Harris actually plays Professor Sardonicus.
Yeah, for sure. And Alec is just here because he's like in the background. Yes.
Yeah, I was just showing in the back the whole time.
I will say this. There was another line that got me, that really got me. It was damn, you kids would suck your own dick for class credit. Yeah, that one made me lose it, dude. Yeah.
I had one. It was the one where they talk about needing two cameras for the interview, and he just pulls a camera out of nowhere.
Are you going to steal my camera? But yeah, I'll say this, man. Movie's fantastic. It's really, I love the line that it blurs between like docufiction, but kind of like this kind of like suspense going on of like, well, is this fucking thing real or not? Like, let's see it. And I think that you did a really, really good job, Gabe and the gang here. Alec, you really get into the role, man. I really enjoyed your performance. It was really good. I'll say that. Yeah, I really enjoyed what you brought to the table. And Lucio, of course, man, the cinematography is really good when you're working inside this realm of like docufiction. Does some really good stuff. Brad, what'd you think about the film?
I've very much enjoyed it. The cinematography was great, and the faux documentary part of it. And you didn't go all Cloverfield on me and make me need to get a sick bag. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
it was very stable throughout.
Yeah. That was that. I told you, Brad was not Brad. The other friend. We were like, sorry for any potential shaky cam when we show the trailer. Because our other friend, like, she gets really sick with nauseous with that type of stuff. But Brad over here, his number one complaint about Cloverfield is that it's too shaky. Like, that shit makes him want to barf.
Too shaky.
Yeah.
And I saw that in theater, so it was just a huge kind of barf moment.
I feel like at a certain point, it's like a crutch with, like, those found footage films. Like, oh, something's creepy happened. Let's just do this to the camera, you know? Yeah.
Let's make the audience sick.
Yeah, and, you know, none of us on this production were fans of the found footage format. We didn't approach it that way. Like, we knew the flaws of that approach. Like, we knew the traps. Mm-hmm. So one thing we all agreed on from the outset is we are not doing shaky cam, right? And we're always going to have a reason for why the camera is recording at the time of the scene. That's the one that always gets me. Like, even the good found footage films, it's like, stop the camera. Stop rolling the camera. Mm-hmm. You are about to die.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you did really good with that, man. At no point did I ever feel like it was just recording to record. Like, there was a reason why that footage was being recorded, and I thought it was genius when you got that one guy. It was like, you know what, Professor? Fuck off! And I'm like, yeah, but that's what kind of happens at our school.
Yeah, that'd be any college campus.
Yeah, I mean, like, you try to ask people what's up, and then they're like, oh, "Fuck off, dude!" Like,
yeah,
but
that was one of our producers, by the way, giving a cameo.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Also, just I've always said I'm a really big fan of us kind of ragtag filmmakers, kind of just taking these cameras out, guerrilla filmmaking, and like taking where we can go, like, just, hey, we got a university, our film is based in the university. Let's go get a film. How difficult was that filming around there? Did anybody ever get inside any of the shots? Especially because I'm looking at some of these shots, like, in you're shooting in like dining halls, you're shooting inside, you know, buildings from the school that we go to. Was there ever any difficulty shooting in there?
Yeah, I can tell you from personal experience doing like the audio and the video aspects. Like,
the audio was
at some points. We had a lot of interference. There was a parking garage scene where we were using wireless lavaliers, and we had a lot of interference. So we had to work on that extensively in post because we had only shot that once and we didn't catch it in time. There's also the dining hall scene. We had to ask them to turn off the music because for obvious reason, copyright, but also it was just way too loud. And then we were in the room, and next to us was a group of people and just talking the entire time. So there are several takes where you can't even really hear Alec. And so we tried
real hard to be like respectful of it, but
yeah,
I mean, we didn't want to like be like, hey, get out of here, we're filming. Mm-hmm. So I'd say there's probably like 5 takes of just listening to their conversation. I'm sure it was interesting. We just didn't listen to it.
Yeah, bro, I feel that. Before I leave, there was cars passing all the time during a scene, and there was music being blasted from across the street throughout the whole time we were shooting, bro.
Ooh.
So I feel that. I feel that. You were going to say something, Gabe?
Okay. No, just commenting on the am I still here, by the way?
You're
great at the Tice household. Am I still here? Okay. Yeah, awesome. Because I mean, when you're talking about difficulty in shooting on campus, like, the thing I was surprised about is that everybody was really nice. You know, we asked the people in the cafeteria to turn down the music. They did. We asked people if we could film inside these buildings while classes were going on. They let us. The only instance where, you know, things got a little more difficult was during the end scene, which I won't go into, but me and Alec are having a very intense moment, and a security guard walked in, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And every time it was a different guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can definitely picture how difficult that was with that security guard, because, like, I mean, Alec, you're getting really in that specific scene we're talking about. Like you're fully into the character. So was there ever any difficulty kind of like tapping back into that because you kept getting interrupted by the security guard?
I mean, really what you're seeing there is pure raw frustration. That was like take 15. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that for quite a while.
Yeah,
literally one of those last takes was when the security guard came in. And man, I don't know. I thought that was the best take right there. Like I was into it. I was feeling it. And then the door flings open. Hey, what's going on in here?
Yeah, it was a mixture of interruption, and then we also just felt like we weren't really like getting it. Like, so that was one of the scenes that took a lot more takes. That was a long night. I think it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an important scene. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the emotional climax of the whole thing. And I mean, it's such a bad feeling when you know that you're going to have to reshoot something. Like you shot it and walking away from set, you know, you're just gonna have to go back and do it right. Cause you didn't get it. And I was determined to not just leave us in that state. You know, we had to get it that night because, the way we were filming it, you just can't manufacture the energy that Alec and I were working with that has to be in the moment.
Especially because, I mean, all three of you worked on something in between Zardonicus. So, you know, to him to have to juggle another character and like having to switch between both of them and like, it creates some difficulty. I can imagine. Alec, first of all, props. For a specific scene during like almost the middle of the movie, I think, if I can remember correctly, bro, I wouldn't have jumped in there. Dude, that bro, first of all, I am sure you got some sort of, did you go get tested or something? Because like that shit ain't clean. I'm telling you right now, bro, that shit ain't clean.
Man, yeah,
that's how COVID started right there. That was ground zero.
That was ground zero, dude.
No, I actually that night when the talked about scene happened, when I jumped in on the first take, I sliced my big toe open. If it wasn't sanitary before, it's definitely not sanitary now.
Well, it's in the trailer though, so we can.
Yeah, it's in the trailer. Yeah, okay. So the fountain scene, scene.
Yeah, Alec jumps in the fountain at UH.
Yes. I jumped in the fountain. Oh, big. Ooh.
We did.
I've ruined the movie.
Hey, Lucio, we did. We refer to the university that we go to here as undisclosed university because
I just spelled it out for some reason.
The legality of naming university in the movie. I know, but it's the same thing for us in making the movie because there are times where we had the university symbol in our shots, but then somebody reached out to us and said, "You need you need legal permission," and we were like, "Okay, what does that process look like?" They sent over a bunch of paperwork, and there wasn't even a guarantee, so we just replaced it with other footage, which is a shame because I wanted it to feel like a real university, right? Not just some nameless setting, but, you know.
I mean, Brad, as somebody who watched the film, not being a student at Undisclosed University, did it feel like it was... Brad, did it feel like an actual setting?
Yeah, it did. It did. It felt like a real school.
Okay.
So I didn't really see any big deal not including all that. If anything, they're not going to get promotion. So there you go. Fight the man.
Undisclosed University, home of the running. You don't need to know.
I did have a question on some of the scenes, though. The guitar music that is in certain scenes, was that just a track or did somebody actually in your group play that?
That was performed with this guitar I have right here. The score is an interesting story. Definitely, it's the place where we just were it was the hardest to pin down how we were going to approach that because typically found footage movies don't even have scores, but I felt to aid the tone of this movie, which is a little bit more cinematic, it would be necessary. But then again, you don't want to clash with the naturalistic tone. So I play guitar And I thought, you know, if we can keep that kind of handmade quality with the score, then I think that'll like fit tone wise. You know, the score is a little polarizing. We definitely know people who didn't care for it. Some people liked it. Personally,
I liked multiple scenes in there with the guitars. Specifically,
yeah, I think it helped a lot.
Specifically, the one I brought up, the interview scene. I thought that was that really helped it. I really liked that.
Yeah. It definitely helped us because having a long dialogue scene without any kind of score and without multiple camera angles, you know, like us editing it, we could feel like it needed another layer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and I was watching this specifically. So like when I'm specifically watching this, I was thinking about like, how were you going to pull it off? Like showing the monster, like if it is real or not, you know, if we get to that reveal, like I was wondering, like, how is he going to pull this off? Like, is it going to look like a cheesy, like, you know, the Blob type of thing where it's like, oh, it obviously looks fake. But you like I said, you did a really good job with like keeping minimal to no lighting when you were in actual places like inside those buildings. So, you know, not to spoil whether the monster is real or not, I want to say, did a really good job of making sure that your lighting worked well to the point where it's like, you're like, oh, wait, what the fuck is that? Like, you're like, what is that supposed to be?
Yeah. That was exactly the intention with that. Yeah. You know, obviously being like a micro, I don't even know if micro budget is correct, because we didn't like micro budget in Hollywood. It's like several hundred thousand still. We held a Kickstarter campaign and raised $3,500. So that's like pennies in Hollywood, right? Yeah. And so we knew we weren't going to be able to create anything with like that kind of level. If there is a monster, who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, we had to get creative with certain things for sure.
And that's also a thought I had writing the screenplay. You know, a decision I had to make early on is Professor Zardonicus in any way going to be put on screen? And a lot of the way I wrote the screenplay, not getting spoilers, but I'm sure people can guess, just you know how much this is a monster movie. It's really not. It's psychological, but. You know, then it came for the night to, you know, get clever. We had to get clever with certain approaches. And the scene you're talking about specifically, we shot that in what was a very brightly lit hallway, and we couldn't find the light switch. So Alec had some trash bags in his trunk, and he had a ladder and some duct tape.
No reason.
Yeah.
So we just.
So you but, just. You put the trash bags over the light bulbs?
Throughout the entire hallway.
Yeah, we used duct tape, black trash bags, and a ladder to tape up every light. And even there was one point where street light was spilling in from above because it was in a lowered down area. Mm-hmm. And so we made a wall of trash bags that we hung from the second story.
Yeah.
And we taped like probably 20 of them together and basically made this giant barricade. To make it work to our specifications. It
took us hours before we actually started filming just because of all that work.
I think we say we started at like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night, and we left campus at like 3 a.m.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive. I mean, once again, we have to reiterate the fact that, you know, when there's limitations to our art, we have to find ways to make it happen.
Guerrilla filmmaking,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's why, you know, of course, we have a lot of professors that have always told us, like, you know, you don't want to be like that. You don't want to just bring in your cameras and just say, like, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm like, yeah, but sometimes it's what needs to happen because I don't have a big Hollywood budget here. And, you know, I also don't own the building and don't, what's it called, can't just make sure the light is on, turn off all the electrical power in there. But, yeah, I got to hand it to you guys. And, you know, first of all, staying until 3 a.m. It's not a surprise in the field that we're pursuing. What's it called? There's shoots that last that long, and it's
longer.
And the PAs are always the last ones to leave too. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy, but Yeah, I got to say that now knowing that how you did that, that makes it even more impressive that you were able to get that look. Because, wow, like, I wouldn't have never imagined that you put trash bags over that.
Yeah. And at one end of the hallway is another wall because we couldn't couldn't stop the spill on that side of the hallway. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, not to go, you know, pixel peeping on our own film, but you can actually, like, there's just blackness on one side of the hallway because that is just a wall of black trash bags.
I didn't notice that. But good. That's
thank you.
That's funny. That's just hilarious. How much trash bags did you have, Alec?
It was like an industrial roll. black Jesus trash bag. Again, don't ask why.
You never know.
Yeah, I mean, knowing that, you know, you would assume, oh, it's just going to look crappy. But again, like, the way we were filming the movie, the way, like, we had this idea in our head that, like, we're going to kind of do it no matter what. Yeah. Because when we first saw the location and saw that, like, we can only turn off maybe, like, two lights out of, like, the several that were in there, we really kind of had our, you know, we were kind of discouraged at first, but then we just thought, or Alec, it was Alec, Alec's idea and who led the initiative.
And yeah, when Alec pitched me the idea,
we had the hallway.
When Alec pitched me the idea, I thought it was stupid. You know, I just wanted to go find another location. but then Alec just said, "No, just give me a few minutes." And goddamn it, he actually did it. But then it became a group effort. You know, we were all like, it took all of us. We didn't have any PAs or any of that stuff. Like stuff like this, it was just the three of us.
Yeah.
There were a few shoot days where additional people would come in to help for, you know, a more sophisticated scene. And there's the scene with all the extras. But yeah, most of this shoot was just the three of us.
Yeah. And by the way, great use of extras. You know, what's it called? I recognize a couple of faces. You know, I've had a couple of faces on with my classes. Stacy over here is saying, the wall of trash bags. And still couldn't get Mexico to pay for it.
Alec paid for it.
Yeah, they got to contact Alec.
Stacy, never change, bro. Never change, man. You've always come with the witty comments. It means a lot. But I was Gabe. This was your first time. This was your first time writing a feature length script, right?
Well, it's not the first feature length script I wrote. It is the first one that I directed.
Yeah. All right. So you know, especially looking at like your catalog of films that, you know, have come before, you know, you've done mostly short. So how difficult, but how was it kind of translating and making sure, like, hey, you were hitting the right amount of time that you were supposed to hit? Like, did it ever on set, did it ever feel like, oh man, I don't think this is going to even go past an hour? Like, it's starting to feel like it's not going to go past an hour. Excuse me.
There we go.
Oh no, because the script was well over 90 pages. So I was always confident about the length. Actually, it was too long. When we had the first rough cut, it was too long. We had to cut like 10 minutes just for the pace and the flow. So if anything, it was verging on being too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go into the actual edit of it, when I first edited like the first rough cut, I don't have experience with a lot of like found footage, I guess, tropes, you would say. Mm-hmm. So how we filmed a lot of these scenes were kind of like in one shots, like multiple takes, one shots where like they would just kind of go back and forth. They would go through the script and maybe add some improvisational elements into it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at first, I kind of left that in, like I let it like just kind of play out. And we realized that it was way too long. It felt awkward. You know, it just felt way too dragged out. And it's because like whenever you see a found footage film, you're used to those cuts. You're used to those like rough around the edges kind of things, right? That kind of progresses the time a little more or creates the illusion of progressed time. So then once we kind of started cutting more, even like artificial cuts that would cut maybe a second, but it felt like it cut a few minutes. Then the movie actually kind of came into its own and actually started to feel like what we were trying to make.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I can't remember her name. What was her name? The girl who was she played your girlfriend, Gabe.
Oh, Kat Thomas.
Kat Thomas, wonderful job. Mm-hmm. The chemistry was definitely there. It definitely felt like you guys were you guys were a couple. A
dysfunctional couple. Yeah. Very dysfunctional couple. Yeah.
Yeah. When, first of all, Gabe and the gang here, if there's something I can say about this movie is how realistic it feels. Oddly realistic. So like when every single time that Gabe is having to record this video of like Cat coming in during recording or like him messing up on the what class number it is, or like having to get some stuff wrong, changing light and then that being wrong, doing it again. And it's like, you have no idea how, for those of you all who are watching this and you don't have to do these type of things, you have no idea how realistic that is. As Brad, I told Brad multiple times, dude, that before I leave, fundraiser commercial that I made, that shit, that was like 10 takes I had to do because I could not get it. And then next time when you're talking, like other times when you're talking about like the ads I have to record for the podcast whenever we get sponsors and stuff, she takes me like 7 times. Like, it's funny how realistic that was. It was really interesting how realistic you got that, man. Especially the stuff of like, you know, her coming in, interrupting you while recording. And I'm surprised that, you know, it wasn't written to where like, you would have gotten a little bit more annoyed with that. It visibly looked like you were annoyed, but I was like, oh, I'm surprised that Gabe didn't write this where it was like, can you please stop doing that? Like, it's fucking annoying.
I did like the line though of, can I use your computer again tonight? And she was like, nah.
No.
That's honestly one of my favorite scenes between Gabe and Kat. I love how they played that. It's such a small scene, but it really plays into how like their dynamic works.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a small moment, right? And in a found footage film, to create a realistic, you know, relationship between two people, that's hard because you're seeing it through this very small, like a keyhole almost. You know, you just get this peek. So we really had to color their dynamic through these little moments. Right, because screen time wise, I don't know how often me and Kat spend together on screen, but I you still get an idea of how their relationship is going, right? But by those little moments,
yeah and you see that throughout the movie, especially right at the very end, where you're like, "Can I go, please?" And then you're like, "All right, I love you." And then you can kind of tell that like that relationship is done right there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, first of all, like, this was a burning question that I've had, like, because I saw you do it. Did you plan to go close that refrigerator door? Or was that like, oh shit, that thing's open, let me go and close it?
In the fight, the refrigerator door. Fight scene between you and Kat after the beer. Yeah, you go in the door.
Yeah. So you're talking about the moment where, like, I kind of struggle to close the door, right?
Yeah. Well, you get up, you walk out the door, and you're, like, kind of struggling, and you close this refrigerator door that's, like, open in the background. Oh, shit, I forgot that was open. And or did you, like, oh, no, it's written in the script that I need to go close this door.
No, that was just a moment that I took advantage of as an actor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just a decision I made because I think anybody who's been in a fight or an argument, these little things just bother you so much. So in my mind, I was like, I'm gonna get that door closed. I'm gonna get that. Like, if I do nothing else right, I'll get that door closed. Because it was just this unresolved thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was the awesome thing about filming a lot of those scenes with other people. Like, we stuck to the script, but, you know, there was enough room for us to improvise and, you know, throw in a few lines and a few additional moments. And that's when I feel like the performances got the most honest, obviously.
Yeah. And and then, of course, you know, there's a couple of scenes where you have some other extras that it was really interesting because I know that scene I'm thinking about, it's like, oh, that's when the evangelicals are here in our university, when they're always coming through and always talking about their stuff. And it's like,
now generally, at least at my university, when this would happen, because let's face it, there's one at every university. Generally, you'd have a large crowd around them. You're not usually with them, but just watching them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, happens every time, Brad.
Yeah.
So I just found it kind of strange in that scene that he's just by himself, which, I mean, you know, he must not have gotten to that point to get a crowd yet.
Definitely in the script there was a crowd. No, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. In the script, there was a crowd written into that. He was with a crowd of evangelicals, and there was a crowd watching and heckling. The truth of the matter is that we didn't have access to those things. You know, we could only really get that one actor. The way we tried to play it off is that everyone's just ignoring him. Like, he's just this one weird guy who came onto their campus and they're just trying to go about their day. But last time I was here talking about this movie, I told you guys a story. Now you know what I mean, that some students saw him and nearly got into a fight with him, the actor playing the Bible thumper, just because he was that good.
Yeah. So that's really cool. That's really cool. But yeah, no, I would imagine. I mean, first of all, dude was great. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I really believe that he was a Bible thumper. I was like, this guy reminds you of all the damn evangelicals that come to campus. And it's like all the time. It always freaking happens. And you know damn well, because you're gonna see in the Undisclosed University subreddit, you know, that they're here. So now that clicks in my head, I'm like, oh, so that's who they were talking about when they were talking about the story, about them getting in a fight. I guess, you know, we're this show typically goes for like around 25 to like an hour or so. We got a little bit of time here. What's the plan, man? What's the plan? We taking this to festivals, or we're running it around the festival circuit, or what's going on?
We're releasing it for the public on a streaming service, and it'll be available for you all to watch on February 12th.
Yeah.
And we're still taking it to I'm still holding out hope for a physical distribution, a DVD, Blu-ray distribution. We're still in talks with people. Now that we have a trailer, it's a lot easier to get in touch with people and get their interest for sure. Yeah. With COVID, things are complicated. Originally, I had this whole plan to take it to all these different venues around Houston, you know, set up some midnight screenings, because I thought this would be a great film for that atmosphere. But that's not going to happen, at least for a while. So got to make do, right?
You got to make with what you got, man. Yeah, that's the thing that sucks, because, you know, typically we want to see we want to see them on those big screens, right? We want to see we made this, and we really want to be able to draw a large crowd. Well, not large, you know, like, you know, in our position, large is like around 50 to 100 people that can come over and watch them. So we're like, it sucks that it can't happen because of the virus, but, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, we've had virtual screenings. Thankfully, we've had the opportunity to show it via private links that, like, with Swamp, right? So, we've had that opportunity to show people our work, and so it's been really great. But of course, you know, you just wish you could just be there in person. You know, you can see these people, because you know how, like, in an online class at the Undisclosed University, and you're on like Microsoft Teams or something, and everyone's camera's off, and they may just, like, you know, say one thing in the chat. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like that, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, and when you text out LOL.
Like, but like, are you person, you know, you actually get to shake their hand. They get to, you know, you get to see all these people.
Because me, Lucio and Alec actually screened another film of ours at an actual theater before this.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, seeing people, you know, react to your film and engage with your film, you know, being there in the audience, it's just the most rewarding thing as a filmmaker.
Yeah,
like, we seeing them laugh at the right place. So
I know.
I just, I bet it was, right?
No, you weren't frozen, man. No, I was just going to say, yeah, man, it would have benefited a lot for me to be there. And when you hear the YouTube part, and me just like bursting out in laughing. Yeah. That's what I got to tell you, man. It's really well paced, the film. It really plays well with the runtime we've got. And I can't wait for everybody else to watch it out here, because it's pretty good, man. It's pretty good.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you guys for watching and talking about it.
Yeah. For a $3,500 budget, that picture quality. Whew.
Better than a lot of y'all did it. Yeah, better than a lot of other movies I've watched, I'll tell you that. I know that you have another film that's coming out. You have another one that's in post at the moment. So you have another short that's coming out. And what's it called? Alec, you're also starring in that one. And Gabe, are you starring in that one?
I appear in a certain way. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
He makes a cameo.
Yeah. Is this director's cameo?
Is this any different? Is this one any different from like the style of Zardonicus? Are we still? Are you still going like?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, found footage. Yeah.
No, it's completely different. This is a completely cinematic film. We kind of, you know, the film we did before Zardonicus was also like that mockumentary style. So we wanted to break away, do something completely cinematic, very stylistic, very, you know, just like the opposite, basically, of Zardonicus. It's a horror short, and it's much more clearly defined genre-wise. Like, I don't know what you guys would describe Zardonicus as. I know we've always struggled to tell people what it is, you know, when we're telling people about it. Is it a comedy? Is it a horror movie? You know, like, it's hard to say.
I feel like it's a psychological, I guess, mockumentary in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the cool thing about – it doesn't have to stream, you know, single-handedly be something, you know. I think that's something that a lot of people, like, you know, kind of struggle with. It's like it doesn't need to be just one thing, right? You know, a lot of films have comedic moments, and they're not straight-up comedies, you know.
No, so, and some of them need that comedic moment to break that tension.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, I can definitely tell you right now, for sure it's like a horror docu-fiction film, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, there's just bits of comedy in there. There's a bit of what's it called, mockumentary in there as well. And I for one, am okay with it not being a singularly one thing.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, you know, but it is interesting because when I wrote the script, I thought I had written a comedy with some dark moments. And when we finished the film, it was more like pretty tense movie with some comedic moments, right? So it changed a lot tonally. Even though we didn't change much of the script, it still evolved into a new thing, and that's a pretty exciting journey to watch.
Yeah. Well, you guys did a wonderful job, man. And Brad, do you have anything else you need to ask? We want to ask here.
Nothing to ask. Just to say, I'm looking forward to anything else you guys put out to watch.
Yeah, you guys know you got a home here, man. You want to bring it over? You want to promote it on here? You want us to watch it early? We got you.
Great job.
We did the same with Majama when they did Bad CGI Sharks. We'll do it with you too, bro. Don't worry about it.
Hey.
And you can release it on DVD so Brad can buy it.
Oh, wow. I'll do that like every episode of Annoy Raoul to death. Yeah.
Great B movie, guys. Go and watch what's it called? Bad CGI Sharks. It's wonderful. I think it's on TV. It's Tubi TV still.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotta check it out.
Yeah. Great movie, guys. Let's go. We love Majama here, but man. Great job on it. So you guys will be able to watch The Curse of Professor Zardonicus February 12th on the streaming service near you. You know, Gabe was informing me of why he can't name the specific streaming service, but you know, just check around one of those major ones, right? And it'll probably pop up in there.
We'll be follow us on our social media. Yeah.
Yeah. Follow us at Facebook/Professor Zardonicus for an update when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or at Professor Zardonicus on Instagram. That too.
Yes.
Yeah. And guys, you want to plug it up here? Throw up where they can find you and everything like that.
I'm at gabriel.tice.16 at I totally thought you said plug it up, guys, throw up your social media. I definitely thought
that. You did. You froze.
You froze at the
Usually I do like from the bottom to the top, so like Alec, Lucio, Gabe, but I mean you froze up, bro, either way. Yeah. Alec, where can you find you, bro?
Yeah, you can find me at the Alec White on every social media platform.
All right,
consistent branding.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, Brad keeps it like that too. You can find him literally anywhere as Random Drew 101. Hopefully not at onlyfans.com/randomgerm101, right? Right,
hey, right. Hey, tough times, yo.
Hey, plug it up.
Where's my stimmy? Where's my stimmy?
Really, I'm hoping for like sexy Yoda cosplay. That's what I really want. Okay, you're giving me a tease.
Yeah, Lucio, no, that one's not. No, don't put that idea in my head, man. I don't want to.
Too late.
Lucio, where can they find you, bro?
Yeah, so my at on Instagram is L-U-I-C-O-H. It's a funky way of spelling my name. I'm so quirky. It's my gamer tag. It just stuck, and now I feel like I can't leave it. But so, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then my Twitter is LucioV120, although I use that mostly for work. So you'll see a lot of news articles on there. So, you know,
You can tell it's Lucio's Twitter because it'll be verified. Our boy got verified.
How the hell
Jack
did you
Dorsey
get
gave him the seal of approval.
I'm a member of the media.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, mind finding a way to get us to mind finding a way to help us get our freaking underscore off?
You know, I'll talk to Mr. Twitter.
I don't even care about getting verified. I want that stupid underscore on the Nerdcore out because there's another Nerdcore that exists that hasn't been active since 2013, and we can't get that freaking underscore out. So
because I know they purge Twitter accounts after a while, so maybe you just gotta wait for that.
That one just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna have wife and kids by the time.
Report that account. Everyone report that account, get it banned, and then I don't know.
That's an idea.
See what happens.
I'll just Photoshop that they called me like a really bad word, and I'll be like, "Hey guys, this is how they called me."
If they delete it,
tell them. Tell them it's Donald Trump's secret account.
It's Trump's secret account.
Yeah, he's a nerd. He's starting a new army, the Nerd Corps.
The funny thing is, if you click on the link in their account, it goes to our website because we have the domain now.
Oh wow.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good marketing, at least.
That's a power move. That's what that is.
We can't have the Twitter, we'll have the website.
Gabe, this time without being interrupted by a freezing screen, where can they find you, bro?
You can find me at gabriel.tice.16 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, just Gabriel Tice. I should be the first one that comes up. If there's a more popular Gabriel Tice, I will have to fight him. And we will have to resolve that.
To the death. There can only be one.
Yeah.
Like Highlander. Can only be one, man. I can't wait for you all to watch this film, guys. It's really good. I really enjoyed my time with it. And Brad, where can you find you?
Random Germ 101 everywhere.
And as always, I am the Nerd Chicken on both Instagram and Twitter. We'll see you guys next week when we continue our month of celebrating Black cinema as we celebrate Black History Month here on the Nerdcore as we watch and review White Man Can't Jump, another Wesley Snipes film. And
classic.
Yeah, next week we'll also do our review of One Night in Miami, the Regina King directorial debut. We've been wanting to do that one, but we switched it for Zardonicus. So, what's it called? Hey, not gonna lie, it was a good time. It was a good time. So there wasn't bad spent. I would have been maybe switch Regina King.
That's gonna be the quote on the movie poster now. Is I would rather watch this than One Night in Miami.
Don't call me on that one. I'll tell you.
All right, thank you. We got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll work
Flip
on
it.
Write up.
We got it.
I'll work on a write up for the website before the premiere of the film on streaming services. So if you want to take anything from a quote from there, go ahead and take it from there. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So without further ado, it's been a wonderful time. Go do what you guys got to do with these homies, man. Go and follow them. Keep an eye out for that film, February 12th, on the streaming service near you, The Curse of Professor Zardonicus. For those of y'all like me, the film is on Letterboxd, so you can log it. Stuff, so... You know, that's the running joke with me. I don't watch a movie unless it's on Letterboxd. So, Brad, send them out.
All right, well, thank you for being host as always. Thank you to my great guests, and thank you for your great art. We appreciate that and be able to see it. Thank you to all those who joined us in chat today. Thank you to all our Patreon supporters, all the listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you. And I guess to end this, I'll say close the fridge. Young Yoda out.